Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Crosswalk Talk with ordained ministers Carlotta Waldman and her co-host Pat Torek. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross so that we can walk the walk and live the life in Him. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your opportunity to share true stories of God intervening in the lives of real people today. Stories of miraculous healing, intervention, God's provision, divine appointments, or of receiving undeserved favor. Carlotta Waldman is an author, Bible college educator, and ordained minister of counseling. Pat Torek is an evangelist, worship leader, and healing prayer minister. Now here's Carlotta Waldman.
Well, thank you very much for joining us tonight. I am so happy to say that we have a subject tonight that we have not covered yet, either in our free articles on Crosswalk Life or in our ministry training school called Now Faith TV. We're so privileged to have with us Apostle and Prophet Diane Nutt. She's from Louisiana, and she shares true stories about encounters with the glory of God, with signs and wonders. And tonight we're going to have the privilege of hearing her share about God taking her up in the spiritual realm as a child, seeing the city of gold and His throne. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but He's taken her there more than once, and she has a mandate as an apostle and prophet to bring people into the presence of God. I love that part because that's always part of our restoration prayer ministry, is to teach people how to invite Jesus just to come and touch and heal them in person. And so she's going to be speaking God's truth by the Spirit to us tonight, praying for us, sharing how we can know the presence of God, the glory of God, and how the bound can be set free, and how the anointed one, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is always the answer. And I wanted to say to keep praying for Pat Torek. She is still in India, will be a little bit longer. And tonight our co-host again is Teresa Hudson from Nashville. We're so glad to have you, Teresa.
Thank you, Carlotta. It's wonderful to be on this show. It really is.
You're going to love it because you're so visual. This is really going to be good for you. You're going to love it. And so tonight, Diane, would you like to say some more about the glory of God, or shall we dive right in, or what would you like to do first?
Well, I guess we can just go ahead and dive in, and I know I'll be sharing about two different sides of the glory of God being manifested, and that is in the natural, you know, realm, which we can see, but then in the spiritual realm.
I wanted to tell some of our listeners who are not familiar with the phrase glory of God that this is nothing new. It's nothing to be afraid of. We can see this mentioned in the Bible over and over. The cloud is mentioned like 60-something times. But just to give you a real brief introduction so you'll know why we are so excited about having Diane with us tonight is, for instance, in Leviticus 16, the Lord said unto Moses, you know, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in a cloud upon the mercy seat. And this was a case where, you know, it was kind of a backwards exhortation, you know, not for Aaron to come in. But it's talking about that same cloud upon the mercy seat. And then in 1 Kings 8, there was a cloud that filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not even stand up to minister, and they were all what we would call today slain in the spirit. And sometimes people say, where is that in the Bible? Well, there's an instance right there in 1 Kings 8. Another area is in the New Testament. In Revelation 15, there was a temple that was filled. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and His power. And, of course, then Revelation 21, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the first thing that I knew about the glory of God, everybody, was when I heard an apostle was preaching at a church, and people kept coming in from the outside, and they would whisper to someone, and then they would both go out, and then someone else would come in the door, and they would whisper to people in the congregation, and people just kept leaving. And he's like, what is going on? He was preaching well. The Holy Spirit was in it. And finally he asked, and they said, there's a cloud of glory around the whole building outside. And so people were leaving to go look at it.
Wow.
But I want to hear your stories, Diane. God started revealing about his glory to you at a very young age.
Yes, yes, he did. And I want to begin with, you know, when we hunger, Carlotta and Tresco, when we hunger after the things of God and we desire to really know what is in heaven, you know, to bring it into the realm of the earth, God is faithful to us to open up the eyes of our understanding and to illuminate our heart so that we can know and understand the hope of our glory, which is in Christ. And so he wants us to see those things. He wants us to manifest the realm of the supernatural, and we are a part of the kingdom of God, which is a spirit kingdom. And so therefore, you know, we have as an inheritance in Christ, we have that ability to be able to go into the realms of the Spirit of God, but to be right with him in his throne room, to receive from him so that we can speak those things here in the earth realm and bring them into a place of manifestation. And so we, you know, we pray, Lord, let thy will be done, let thy kingdom come, and let what is in heaven be manifested in the earth. And when we experience and when we encounter heaven on earth, it impacts our lives and it changes us so very deeply, and we really begin to see truly what we are a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And so the glory of God is just an amazing, it's an amazing thing, and it, when you get right down to it, it is truly a manifestation of God's love. And one thing that Carlotta, what I was being quickened to is a while ago when you were talking about how the glory cloud came in and the priest, you know, could not stand and to minister. Well, that has actually, I have been in a meeting in the basement of a ministry up in Illinois, and I was ministering to the staff there. I think there were probably about 9 people and maybe 10, somewhere around there. And as I began to minister, the glory cloud just began to move in.
Mm.
And it was just amazing. Well, the staff members, they just, you know, started falling over. We had just gotten in there and, you know, and gotten started. And they began to just fall over under the power of God. And next thing I knew, I did too. And so there's like a blank space on the tape. It was for, I think, about 40 minutes. And I remember opening my eyes and, you know, seeing the microphone over away from me. But literally, we could not stand in the presence of God. But to go back to as a child, I just hungered, you know, after the things of God. And it really began as I was laying out in the yard. And I've shared this so many times. And, you know, God is just, He's simple. The gospel is simple. And if we'll just come as a child, mm-hmm. and have that childlike faith and just trust and believe him, he will surprise us all. And I always say that, you know, he's our daddy, and he has so many surprises for us,
mm-hmm.
things that we've not seen and places where we have not been. And it really is a journey that we are walking here on the earth. But the journey is to be in the realm of the Spirit, because
yeah.
we are encouraged, you know, to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. And so that one day when I was just laying out there, outside as a child, I was laying in the front yard and looking up in the sky and at the clouds, and, you know, I began to make the shapes, you know, how we start seeing things. And the next thing I know, y'all, I was looking down at my body. And because I grew up in a denominational church, I didn't really understand from the viewpoint of having been taught, you know, about the Holy Spirit and about, you know, the realm of the Spirit. But, you know, the Holy Ghost himself taught me, and so the Lord would take me up into realms of in the Spirit. And I remember the comfort, you know, that he would bring me, and just the sheer joy of being in his presence. It was overwhelming, and I had faced a lot of tragedy, you know, as a child, and I'll, you know, we're going to be sharing that on the next program, but, you know, the Lord really just, he ministered to me his love and his glory, his loving kindness, you know, and his mercy in those times that he would take me up in the Spirit.
Thank you, Lord. So it's not just a fearful thing like that first time when Moses was telling Aaron, don't even come in, you know, but it was actually very healing for you.
Yes, yes, it was, and that was just kind of the beginning, and I knew, you know, I couldn't really explain to people, and I think that is really what is so precious in how I see more and more what the Lord did with me and how it has enabled me to be able to encourage everyone that, you know, you cannot attain the things of the Spirit with your mind. And because the carnal mind, Paul tells us in Corinthians, doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. But when we yield, you know, he is faithful to reveal to us and to our minds. And so I always tell people, this is so funny, y'all, I always tell people, you know, you can just lose your mind. You know, you don't have to have your mind. You just can't get the things of the Spirit with your carnal mind. And, you know, I just looked up over here in the room and that I'm in, and the glory cloud is already moving in. And I want to encourage everyone that is listening right now to open up your heart and open up your spirit to just be, to have an encounter with the Lord and to experience him in a way that you have never experienced him before. And as you hunger after what he desires for you, he will manifest himself. I'm telling you, in one part of this office that I'm in right now, the glory cloud is very, very thick. And so I know right now that that the Lord is wanting to minister to many of you who are listening right now and who will be listening in days to come. Amen?
Amen.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. And I guess really, you know, this is where in my bedroom, you know, as I have, you know, had gotten older and became more aware of the presence of God, I would begin to see the glory of God in our bedroom. And just like, you know, right now I'm being so overtaken. But, you know, the glory cloud just moving in, his presence just moving in. And what you have to understand is that he's really not going to ever do anything that is going to hurt you or to harm you.
Oh.
And, you know, sometimes there's trepidation there. There's a fear of the unknown. But we have to remember that he is a loving father, And we are precious. Each and every one of you are precious to him. But he wants to reveal to you and show to you what is your inheritance and what you are part of. And so that is a very dear thing to him, that the eyes of our understanding continually, you know, is being opened up, and that our hearts are being illuminated so that we might know that hope of glory in Christ.
Christ in you is the hope of glory.
Yes, yes, and he really, really is. And, you know, one thing I'm thinking about is so many times I would be driving in my car and I would be on my way home and, you know, there would be circumstances that would be really heavy upon me. And I remember the first night, but many times, when the glory cloud was in front of me. And I kept on waiting, you know, to drive through it. Because, you know, I'd look around to see if there was fog anywhere. And, of course, you know, there wasn't any fog. But the glory cloud would be in front of me. It was so visible. And, you know, the Word of God says that he goes before us.
Wow.
And he makes the way, you know, and he prepares that way. And his glory is, you know, has gone before us, but his glory is also our rear guard. And so many times, just countless times, and still from time to time, the glory cloud will be in front of me, and there would just be an amazing peace that comes over me, and just an assurance of him being with me, Christ being with me, and an assurance in knowing that no matter what was fixing to happen or, you know, whatever was going on, that I was going to get through it. And so that glory, his glory brings just this amazing peace that really passes all understanding, and just having that assurance of him being there for me, and he is there for each and every one of you. And once again, I don't mean to be really hammering this in, but maybe it's just the Holy Ghost, you know, wanting to really hammer this in. And that is that there's so much that he wants to show you. He delights in you as his child. And as you take delight in him and his word, he takes delight in you, and he gives you the desires of your heart. But he opens up to you that which you are a part of. It's a growing process. You know, it's a learning process. Just as we grow here on the earth, you know, going from child into the adolescent, teenager, and young adulthood, it's, you know, there's just phases and growth like that in the realm of the spirit. And so his glory is just an amazing thing. And so you just y'all just interject whenever you want to. And
is this similar to when the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years and they would see the cloud evidencing God's presence going with them and before them?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Carlotta, the Word of God says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a lot of times I think we may, you know, mark off or count off the things that are in the Old Testament, but they're all a foreshadow of the New Testament.
Yeah.
And even the scriptures that you've read, you know, in Revelation, and, you know, when the Lord, when he took me up into the city of gold, you know, I had been in the Word for several hours with a few other prophets of God. We had been in the Word for, I think, maybe about 4 hours, and we'd just been reading and praying, and we went outside and sat on the patio, and we were sitting actually on the patio and just kind of Indian style, you know, had our legs crossed and everything. And as we're sitting there, all of a sudden, they told me that my head just kind of dropped down, and the Lord took me up into the realm of the Spirit. And next thing, Jesus was standing there.
Wow.
And I was in this city where everything was gold. The streets were gold. There was a wall around the city, and it was gold. And I'm sorry, I get kind of emotional. It's like every time I share it because it's so holy
mm-hmm.
and it's so precious. But the buildings that I saw, they were all gold. And, of course, there was no light anywhere. But it was just as what you read in Revelation. It was lit up with the glory of God.
Now, did he take you somewhere in particular that he wanted to show you?
Well, that I believe that that was just it. I mean, that's all I did was just stand there in awe. And he was standing over to the side of me. And there, it was just a moment of just greatness. And I know because that is a manifestation. I mean, it is a part of the Word of God, what truly, you know, is the Word of God. And but what happened is one of the persons there, you know, that was with us, they said, "But Diane, what is that all over you?" And I opened up my eyes. And there was gold dust all over me.
Mm-hmm.
I was up, you know, from my head on my legs. I had shorts on, and I was covered with gold dust.
Mm. Was that the first time that you'd had that?
Yes, it was. It was the first time, and I'd never heard of it either. I'd never, you know, I didn't know Ruth Ward Haslam, and this was like in 1989. So it's, you know, that's been a long time ago, and people just really did not talk about it, you know, at that particular time, and or if they did, I just didn't know anything about it, and so that, you know, that the gold dust, it began to manifest in my life when I'd be praying for people or ministering to people one-on-one, and it would just be, you know, in my hands, you know, would be covered with it. And it was a very, very amazing thing because, once again, I really didn't know anyone at that time. But as time went on, the Lord began to give me revelation, you know, some revelation. I'm sure I probably, you know, don't know everything about it. But he did give me the Word of God, you know, for gold dust. And, you know, we wonder, some of us, you know, you hear about these things and, you know, we're like, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the truth is that God is manifesting his glory. He is manifesting himself to us, and he's manifesting a part of heaven that is actually... once again, it's our inheritance. And, you know, Carlotta and Teresa, I never asked for any of these things, the supernatural things, because I didn't learn about that growing up, you know, in my Southern Baptist denomination. But I was very grateful because of the Word of God that was always... presented to me, and because of that hunger there, you know, I sought after him. But in the midst of that, all of these other things begin to manifest in my life. And so that's one thing I want to share with your listeners, Carlotta, is that, you know, you don't seek after what he gives. Don't seek after those things. But when you seek after him and him alone, those things will just begin to manifest in your life.
Hmm.
Because, you know, it's a part of the kingdom in which we came from. And so if I may, just with this right here, because I know someone is probably, you have a question about it. Well, when you have the time, just go and read Job chapter 22 and read verses, 21 through 29. But as you read this, you will begin to understand a little bit about why God, and I don't know if I want to really say why, but the manifestations, you know, that that come, and in manifesting that God does, is just a beautiful scripture scripture text, and he talks about us, you know, acquainting ourselves with the Lord and being conformed to his will and being at peace. And then he talks about, you know, prospering and the good that will come to us. And he tells us in this scripture text to, you know, if we've gotten away from him, to just return to him and to submit to him and humble ourselves. And then he says, you'll be built up. And he says, you know, he says in that, he says, if you lay up gold in the dust, he talks about that gold dust. He talks about the precious silver, you know, being manifested in our lives. And then he encourages that we will have delight in the Almighty. And as we lift our face up to God, when we make our prayer to him, he'll hear us. But then we'll decree a thing, and it'll be established. Mm. And then he talks about there will come a lifting up as we stand in that place to pray for one another that will bring and release that deliverance in their lives. And he says that we will be delivered through the cleanness of our hands. And so the gold represents purity. And so when the Lord gave this to me and, you know, I began to get that revelation, it's like, oh, that is why so many times when I have counseled people, you know, my hands will end up being covered with that gold dust. Isn't that beautiful?
It is. And I'm wondering, Diane, how long does that last once the gold dust manifests?
Okay, that, you know, that just varies, and I'm going to try to say this to where, because, well, it sometimes, you know, it's there for a while, and other times, you know, I'll notice it, and I'll see it, and even the person that I have counseled with, you know, they'll see it, because, you know, I'll be standing there just in total awe. And they'll look over and they'll see it. And, you know, of course, our eyes just look tears. And then the next thing you know, it's gone.
And it'll sometimes it lasts through a shower to the next day. When you shower, it doesn't come off.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's still there. But I think it's a sign, like you said, it's a sign to those that are receiving the word that God, it's like God's signature sometimes, saying, this is me, this is my message, or this is my voice, or like that time I was teaching the holiness ladies that the gift of God, you know, righteousness is a gift of God, it's not something you perform to earn. And when me and my intercessor had the gold dust, then they could have more reason to believe that this really is a true interpretation of Scripture, and it helped them to have faith.
Yeah, it does. It encourages others. When I stepped into the place as senior pastor in our church, this was in March of 2000, the very night that I stepped into that place on March the 15th, I stepped up in the pulpit, and I had turned my head for a moment because there's a wall right behind the pulpit, and, y'all, the wall was covered with gold dust.
On the wall.
On the wall.
It has been there until that day, and even the gold dust is in the fabric of the chairs in our sanctuary, and it's in the carpet. one little secretary that we had in a season, she came up to me one day and she said, Apostle Butt, she said, do you wear glitter or something? And I said, no. And she said, well, there's always all this gold glitter stuff all around your chair that you sit in. And of course, you know, she backing it up. And I said, oh, well, I said, that's the gold dust. And she just about flipped. She was like, oh, gosh, I've been backing it up every week. And I said, but it's there all the time, isn't it? And so we both laughed about it because it just, you know, it would be there. But, you know, there are many times that people have come in and they've seen it. They've gotten up off of the floor after having been prayed for. And they've got pieces of gold dust on them. One man and his wife who had come in one time, and she had just been really attacked by a spirit of death and, you know, just had no lightness to her step and just very, you could just see it all over her. And as I begin to pray, he's looking, you know, and he's looking to the side and to the other side of her. And then all of a sudden he looked at me and he said, what's that gold stuff falling? He said, what's that gold stuff falling around her? And so, you know, it was the gold dust. And it turned out she started laughing. I mean, just great joy came upon her and within her. And Carlotta, he said that she had not laughed in several years.
Oh my.
And, you know, the Lord just healed her heart completely. And so, you know, it is a sign. And it really does, God reveals his glory in and through every supernatural manifestation that we encounter. It is a manifestation of his glory.
Well, you know, it's some people's personality style to be afraid of the supernatural. They're afraid of the Holy Spirit getting in control of their church. they're afraid of God's supernatural power. But, you know, when you get right down to it, just think it through with me just for a minute while before Diane goes on with even more things. Isn't it a supernatural God that we want? Don't we want the God that is all-powerful, has all the power in the universe? We don't want a situation where devil has even half the power. We want God to realize that God has all the power. The devil can't do a thing that God doesn't let him do. And we want to know God in a supernatural way. Now, you might think maybe you do, but I do. I do. I don't want to just have church that we can all do even if God was never there. Even if there was no God, you know, things that we can do in our own strength. I just only want to go to a church where God wants to go. Because if he's not there, why do we go, you know? And so I just think it's wonderful that we have a God-sized God that will show us supernatural. And I want you to have an opportunity to clarify one more thing. We do have some callers waiting, Diane, but if you would clarify one more thing. You said that your motivation was not... And how did you put it? Was not to see the glory of God? Or how did you say that wasn't your original motivation?
Okay, not seeking after the things, after the glory of God and the things that he has manifested, you know, supernaturally. I mean, the glory cloud, the gold dust, the fragrance, the oil, you know, it is a manifestation of God's glory, but I never sought after those things because, number one, I didn't know about them. You know, I did not grow up. I didn't even know what Pentecost or charismatic or spirit-filled. I did not know any of that growing up.
Now, you're giving away our age now. All we knew was what was in the hymn book and the three songs and... You know, the 20-minute sermon, and that is all we knew because, just to put it in a country kind of way, the Holy Spirit never got loose in our church, you know. He had to stick to the order of service the way we had planned it. And I say we because we just didn't know any different. But now we have an opportunity. Well, let me say what I think. I believe that Paul set the example when he said his motivation was to know him, was to know God. And when you know God, then you are privileged to see him in his power as well, his resurrection power. But there's also, as Paul said, drinking the cup of his suffering. That's part of knowing him too. And so God knows the people that are radical lovers, that want to know him in every aspect, whether it means we have good days or whether we have hard days, whether we're telling our testimony joyfully with our lips or whether we have to demonstrate our testimony as we trust God in tough times.
It's so true, and you said it. I mean, that is exactly, you know, because I didn't know to ask those things. I just hungered after him. You know, I just had such a deep desire to know him, and when our son got married, I had given our little daughter in love, I had given them, given to her a Bible that I had grown up, you know, as a child, and I had written down, you know, from the Bible all the things that I had underlined in growing up. And when I went back and when I saw, all the things that I had underlined, I thought, oh my goodness, you know, no wonder I am where I am today because of the things that stood out to me as that small child, you know, growing up, the things that really meant a lot to me and just my pursuit, you know, for holiness and for the things of God and for the Lord. And so I always encourage everyone and, you know, even everyone that's listening right now, don't seek after even the gifts or the callings or what his hand can give you. But seek after him. Seek after the giver himself. And when you get to know him, you will just fall in love with him. You won't be one that says, I love him. You know, I love God. But you'll be one that says, I'm in love with him. Mm. And, you know, and so two lovers, what happens in the midst of a relationship of two lovers? They begin to reveal secrets, and they begin to just open up and to, you know, to give and to show to one another. And so it's not really, you know, that you're asking. It's just that you are giving into that. You're making an effort to get to know that one. And so you make that effort to get to know the Lord, and as that relationship begins to develop, and as it begins to deepen, you will hear him as he says to you, come away, my beloved. Let us go into the fields. Let us go into the villages, and let us lodge together. And, you know, no matter where you go, he's, you know, you have that ongoing relationship with him because you're in love with him. And then the next thing you know, your eyes, you're beginning to see with the eyes of your spirit things that, you know, that you're not able to see otherwise because he's opening up to you. And, you know, every manifestation that I've ever experienced has always been in the Bible. It's right there in the Word. And, you know, it's just that a lot of times, you know, we take the Word of God and we read it, but the things that our mind just doesn't quite understand or comprehend, sometimes we tend to, you know, to put that on a shelf or to put it to the side and think that, well, you know, that was for then. But we have to remember the scripture, you know, Carlotta, that I quoted a while ago, and that is that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And when you think about in Exodus, you know, when Moses was asking the Lord to show him, he said, Lord, show me your glory. And when the children of Israel, when they saw the pillar of cloud and they saw it around his tent, I mean, they weren't even baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And so how much more is he going to show us as a people who are a people that have that opportunity to be baptized with his Holy Spirit and with his fire?
And in Acts 1, the disciples were commanded to wait for the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the motivation was so that they could have power to be a witness, and that's still our motivation. We want to lift up Jesus Christ. I still can't talk. At the beginning of this program, you probably noticed me stumbling all around. I could hardly talk, and I knew what I wanted to say. I just couldn't get it out. But our motivation is to be able to lift up Jesus better. It's not so that we can talk in tongues or have, you know, signs and wonders, but those that believe, who do want to know him, who will linger in his presence. And when people say, well, what do you mean by putting Jesus first? I said, well, for me, first of all, it's with time. I have to spend time. You have to spend time to get to know somebody.
Mm-hmm. You do that a lot. That is so true. And, you know, we think about when we read I can't think right now, but I believe it's in John, but when we read about when the Lord said to the man, he said, depart from me, I never knew you. And he said, but Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out devils? Didn't I, you know, lay hands on the sick and they were recovered and healed? And, you know, the Lord's like, well, yes, you did all of that, but that was my gift in you. See, we have to understand that all of those things that we do is by the power of his Spirit. Yeah. But what he wants is our heart. And so when he told him, when he said, depart from me, I never knew you, you know, some of you, maybe you've read that many times and you're thinking, well, he's the Lord. He knows everything about him. But what he was saying, Carlotta, is he was saying it would be just like me knowing everything about you, you know, like I do your favorite kind of food, and say it was Mexican food. Your favorite color, say it was blue. And, you know, I knew your favorite movies, your favorite books that you like to read. I knew all of that about you, but that does not mean that you know who I am.
Well, and it's an interactive relationship.
Right.
It's not that he doesn't know about me or I don't know about him. Plenty of people know about Jesus, and they'll give intellectual assent to most anything he claimed, but they don't know him because they don't have an interactive relationship.
That's it.
And how about this? Sometimes people don't even realize that Jesus will talk right back to you if you just ask him a question.
And if you slow down and listen and quit talking for a while and listen. We've talked about that a lot, Diane. We are on the same page. Now, Teresa, do you have somebody that's got some questions that's called in?
Well, I believe Greg is on line 3 if you want to talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Greg, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you, Uncle?
We are great, except for a little bit of snow. How are you?
Oh, the snow's everywhere. Hey, I'm doing good. Trying to stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm an Eskimo. I saw it, I think.
I'm not going to speak that one. You can have that one.
Okay. I thought I saw Miss Palin walking down the street with a penguin the other day. So if that's Miss Palin, that was a penguin, it's got to be Alaska. Actually, in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm a former news and sports reporter, so as I was hearing you all talk about the glory of God, the magnificence of God, the incredibleness of God, I was just thinking about the Super Bowl, which we all saw yesterday. The NFL has the two best teams, and one wins. Look at the Super Bowl of life. God has been victorious for us. When we were so sinful, we were so out of the ball game. We were so bad. We did not deserve to be in the game. But not only were we in the game, but we were in the Super Bowl of life. And because of Jesus Christ, we can all say we win.
Yay.
Amen.
Yes. the magnificent of God. Where else would the worst be in the Super Bowl of life? And because of Jesus Christ, we come away as winners. And we have our glorious eternity in heaven.
You know what I love about Jesus, Greg, that when Jesus died on the cross, it was so that when I fail, he'll take the shame or the guilt or the regret. But when I succeed because Christ is in me, he shares his glory with me.
Yes, yes.
So what kind of deal is that? When you succeed, he shares the glory. When you fail, he takes the shame and guilt upon himself.
That's only the way God does it. Magnificent God, wonderful God. It's beyond belief.
Is there something we can agree with you in prayer on?
I'm looking for some opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going through some really tight financial times, but he's got it all. He's got all the keys, so I'm just going to pray that you all are going to pray that he gives me a supernatural favor to whatever these opportunities are, that he'll use me like he's never used me before, and he'll help me financially.
And I declare and decree that the future glory that you're going to experience of knowing God, his presence, being an expression of him, and in the workplace as a marketplace minister or as a full-time minister, that the future glory will be much greater than the last, much greater. And you will be able to leave finances completely up to him. You'll know that you have an expense account that comes with what God asks you to do. And you will know his fullness as the fullness of the Godhead far more than you do now.
I'm ready to serve him, and I'm ready to... There was a scripture, I think it's in John 5, if I'm not mistaken, that says, we're no longer servants, we're children of God. Mm-hmm. And he's going to reveal secrets and wonders and blessings upon us. How he could take a guy like me, or any of us, and say, Greg, I not only want you to, you're no longer going to be a servant, you're going to be part of my family. We're no longer sinners, we're saints. And it's not because of us, it's because of him. So, you know, that's interesting to hear you say that, because the whole time I've been in the ministry, it's been a long, long, long tough time, a really tough time. And some other people say, Greg, 2010 is going to be your year. It's a year of new beginnings.
That's right.
Not because of me, but because of my God. Well, thank you, ladies.
I believe I'm going to get to meet you in person before long. So
praise
just keep
God.
That in mind and look for our paths to cross.
Yes, and I just pray for those precious people out there now that have been like me. You've just been hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that Almighty God will do exceedingly abundantly above anything we all could ask or think. And God will touch that person now who just doesn't understand where it's going to happen, what's going to happen because of God.
And that one who it just went through their mind, well, it'll happen for them, but it won't happen for me.
I've been there.
Just renounce it real quick.
Saying, God, renounce those lies.
Help my unbelief, and I renounce and repent of believing that you're a respecter of persons, and I choose to receive every promise you've got in the Bible, and anything you've ever done for anybody else, I'm going to believe you'll do it for me.
What is it? Deuteronomy 33:27 says, I'm your buckler, I'm your shield, I'm going to attack the enemy, and he comes out and says, I will destroy them. So for all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, the word tonight is he will destroy the enemy in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
What a better way to see his glory.
And Greg, don't worry about it if your resume has seemed somewhat low or flawed lately, because when I came into the ministry, I was of no reputation. I had no reputation to keep up, and I still don't have one to worry about. And that makes me more dangerous to the enemy, because I don't have a reputation to perpetuate.
Right. That's a good way to do it. It's all about him.
I've been loved much and forgiven much. Thank you so much for calling. I hope you'll call again.
God bless you all.
Well, you can continue to listen. If you just push that one, you can continue to listen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anyone else, Teresa?
Let's see. On line number 6, I believe we have Kurt.
Oh.
Well, hello.
Prophet Kurt.
Good evening.
I remember that you introduced me to Diane first of all. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, we've been discussing false prophets and such, and while she was talking, I was reminded by the Spirit that indeed she's a true apostle, because mm-hmm. she has directed everything that she said to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She was taken away from her, and she was putting all the glory back to the Lord. And that's a sign of a true servant of God. And that's a welcome thing in this day and age. I want to share with you a couple of things about the glory. And I really never really thought about it until I was listening to the program. Back 2 years ago, I was in a service in Katy, Texas. Pastor David Jones at House of Praise. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with him. Before the service, there was a family, and the young girl was probably in her early 20s. And I said, I feel I need to give you a word. And she acknowledged it, and I gave her word that she was going to have a supernatural encounter with the Lord. And that would forever change her life. Well, a week after I gave her that word, I didn't know this was going to take place. She and some of her college friends had came back from college, and she was going up the stairs to her bedroom. Well, as they were climbing the stairs on the banister, it was literally covered with gold dust. And when she got into her, when she opened the door to her room was literally covered with the gold dust, and she started screaming for her mom and dad.
Oh, wow.
They went up running, and they were in awe. And it really spoke to some of her friends, because they weren't saved. And, you know, God can do what he wants. He can do what he wants when he wants to do it. I call it a sign and wonder. I call it the glory. You know, whatever you want to call it, it's still a supernatural act. And there was another time we were having a service at a local school, and me and a group of pastors, including Pastor Dave, were up on stage. I felt tremendous heat while I was up there on the stage, and somebody had taken pictures, and after they had them developed, they came back with the pictures, and every one of us were engulfed in fire. It was just amazing. And, you know, when I first started hearing about this, I told the Lord, so, you know, I'm not saying it's not real, but if it is, I want to experience it.
Yeah.
And I had heard about the feathers and the diamonds and all that. Well, I was going to this church to preach, and I prayed that prayer on the way there. And, guys, don't hold against me, but this day I wore a hot pink shirt.
No.
And while I was preaching, this feather come floating down. One of the people in the front row grabbed it. I mean, right there in front of me.
Wow.
Anyway, it came up to me after the service, and that feather was the exact color of my pink shirt. It was a pink feather.
Oh, come on. You mean he gives you feathers to match?
It was an exact match color to my pink shirt. And so, you know, I thought only brothers wore pink shirts. But anyway, they have some heavenly angels, I guess, that wear pink as well. And so, you know, these things are real. And I like flowing in the glory. I've had the rose, the scent of a rose just come to me. It was just a sweet-smelling rose. And it's the Rose of Sharon. And the glory realm is real.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't seek the gift. If we should seek the giver, and it's out of that intimate relationship that the glory of God makes manifest. And it's phenomenal, because what happens, I think, if we start seeking these things, I think that there's potential, and I say potential, for the enemy to try to come in and deceive people. But you know what? The devil is not a creator. He's an imitator. He can only imitate what the Lord does, God's creator.
Okay, we've got a question in the chat room along that line. I don't know if you want to take it, Diane, or or pass it to someone else. But our chat room person says, how can we discern between the glory of God and the false counterfeits of Satan? False signs to trick us. Some say that the real is false. It can be so confusing. Thanks for any input.
Well, Kurt, did you want to say something? Or I will just say one thing about a counterfeit. The devil, he cannot fabricate the power of God. He cannot fabricate the manifestations of what is heavenly. And so the things, you know, what I was sharing a little bit earlier about all the things that has manifested, and, you know, we pretty much just shared all of that, the oil, the fragrance, you know, the gold dust, and there's even silver dust, and, you know, all of these manifestations, they bring you peace.
That's right.
You know, when the glory shows up, when the glory of God shows up, even in the midst of, like, when you're going through a really, really hard time, you know, the Lord has revealed the glory cloud, like when we buried my mother, and I was in a deep, dark moment. I was sitting in, you know, my bedroom with just, and it was pitch black in there, and I was just crying out to the Lord. I felt lifeless. I felt helpless, hopeless. You know, I was feeling death. I was feeling what people feel that do not have Jesus Christ in their lives. And it was just a really sobering moment to experience all of that and all of these mixed emotions and feeling, you know, insane. I mean, like I was losing my mind. And as I cried out to the Lord, y'all, I mean, instantly, in the midst of the darkness in my room from it being pitch black from no lights, the glory cloud began to manifest. And, you know, it just lit up. It lit up in that dark room. It just began to light up the glory cloud, and it was so thick. And in the midst of that, his love, the warmth of his embrace, his cradling me and cuddling me and holding me, you know, I was overwhelmed, and instantly every single one of those mixed emotions and feelings that I had was gone. I mean, just instantly, when the glory cloud showed up, all of that left, and I began to feel life again, just the abundant life of God. And so I could tell you numerous stories of countless times people that have smelled the fragrance and have been healed from one lady from asthma, one lady that was going to have an operation on her vocal cords. She was a music teacher at Christ for the Nations. Just, you know, one thing after another of people being healed. There's going to, when God manifests, you know, when he brings forth the manifestations of his glory, the peace of God's going to be there. Even if you don't understand it, your mind and your soul, your heart is consumed with peace. And so that's one way to know. And even if you're afraid, because when I went through learning how to travail and groan in the spirit, and I started out with stammering lips and I was shaking, and I said, Lord, I said, I'm afraid. And immediately, and I think, Teresa, I think you mentioned something about this. I mean, immediately when I cried out and I said that to him, he said, Diane, he said, fear not, for it is I. Mm-hmm. And immediately this amazing peace just consumed me, because, you know, I've been a little Southern Baptist girl. I've never travailed and groaned in the spirit. Didn't even know what it was. I just asked Jesus, you know, teach me how to pray. I don't want to pray repetitious prayers and be like a heathen, you know. And so he began to teach me, and that was my first encounter when I asked him. But he immediately responded. So for that one that, you know, is asking that, there's always going to be a peace there. and the love of God is always going to be overwhelmed, and it supersedes any unbelief or doubt in your mind. So I don't know. Do you have something, Kurt? And
I was reminded of Peter when Jesus came walking by. The disciples saw it, and it says they had great fear. Okay, fear is of the flesh, the carnal mind.
There you go.
It's a mind, the will, and emotions. There's nothing wrong in fear unless you succumb to it. But notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, "It is I, be not afraid."
Mm-hmm.
And what Diane said, there's always peace that's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
That's right.
And I know a lot of times when I'm driving, the peace of God will come in. My mind will be going 90 to nothing. All of a sudden, the peace of God comes in. That's His glorious presence showing up. He's living inside me, but I'm talking about the tangible presence of God.
Yeah.
That we can sense it. You know, especially I find the more closer that you get to God, the more fellowship you have with Him, you will begin to experience these natural things as well as the spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of times people, they may dwell too much on the, you know, the false stuff that's mm-hmm. going on. But see, when you really come to know God, you'll know in your heart by discernment whether it's right or whether it's wrong.
I think that's true, Kurt. I really do, because when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, and it happened to me when I was a freshman in college, and God had to get me out of my denominational church and around all those folks and introduce me to what God was doing on campus. And when I started hearing about what God was doing, the signs and the wonders and just hearing about tongues and visions, and I wanted that. And when the Lord baptized me with His Holy Spirit, I went back and talked with my pastor, and he tried to tell me that that was not of God. But you know better. You know differently because you have that peace.
I'd like to pray for some of us to pray for the people that feel like they don't know. Here's another comment in the chat room that says, "I am now very wary of all signs because I don't want to be deceived." And they have experienced the gold dust and sparkles and multicolored sparkles for years. But now that, you know, that has so much has gone on in the Christian community, they don't know what to think. And I just want to come against the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to lead everyone to renounce every and any agreement you've ever had with the spirit of fear. You can break your agreements in the name of Jesus with the spirit of doubt and unbelief and anxiety about it. And every time that you've said, you know, that you can't really trust God to let you know what is true and what is not, just repent and say, "God, I just, you know, in your name, the name of Jesus, we just cast out the spirit of fear and doubt and unbelief and anxiety and fear of deception." But a big one is the fear of evil, just the fear of evil in general, and the feeling that it's somehow bigger than God's desire or ability to let you know what's real and what's not, what's truth and what's error. And for your sake, we're going to have a whole program with Prophet Kurt the first Monday in March, so be sure to join us then. But in the name of Jesus, right now, we just all agree, if you'll agree with us, that the spirits of fear and doubt and unbelief and anxiety and the mistrust of God, that He will even confirm for us what's real and what's not, we just repent of all that in the name of Jesus. Say, "Jesus, we choose to live not only in faith, not only our faith, but Paul said he lived by the faith of the Son of God. So we know that you're pure faith in us, and we just choose to receive you as faith in us and to release that faith, and that we will choose to believe that from now on we're going to be able to trust you to show us what's real and what's not, and we're going to believe for keen discernment, just real keen discernment, that we will know. And for every time we've been deceived, that God will give us an even keener discernment to know what is God and what is not."
Mm-hmm.
I hope that helps somebody.
Amen.
Well, you're gonna find good and bad in everything, whether it's in the world or whether it's in the spirit. And the key, the very key to walking in truth and knowing truth is knowing Jesus Christ in a personal, intimate way, and knowing what the Word says. And it's good to be cautious, but you can't call everything that takes place evil, because what is the motive? You know, I used to be like a lot of people and always be questing, and if there's things I don't understand, I just kind of like, okay, God, you know, I'm gonna set this offside. Show me the truth. Because I tell you what, there's much deception, but there's also much truth. And God's power is greater than any force in this universe. Listen to me, people. Satan is a yes boy for God. Do you hear me? He is a yes boy. When God tells him to jump, he jumps. He will do what God says. And what the enemy tries to do is he tries to imitate God. And I said try, because a lot of times he can't do that. But God is God. And God is not going to let you be deceived if you have a simple trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. The only thing they taught was being born again. They said tongues went away and all these different things, the power and all that, it's passed. Well, when did it pass? If you're telling me that tongues passed and miracles don't happen anymore, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I've experienced it over and over and over again. I've watched miracles that have baffled doctors, that has been medically reported, written on paper, and watched God do the miracles. So no one can tell me that the God that I serve is not a supernatural, a powerful God. And I said this before, and I'll say it again. You cannot trust in the natural. You, in this last day, are going to have to know how to have a relationship with the Lord and
you
how
have
to trust
to.
And trust in mm-hmm. Him. Because otherwise, you may become shipwrecked in faith, and that's not God's plan.
And we have a Redeemer, and those of us that have been severely hurt by deceivers, and I have been, so I kind of know where this one is coming from. It motivated me to receive God's true spiritual discernment. It motivated me to want the real. It motivated me to not be so hungry for spiritual things that I would slip into divination or something, that I wanted to make sure I had the real. But instead of being afraid of evil, just spend more time getting to know the Lord. Now, I want to hear... we're going to get into deception, and I don't want to cut her off with these questions, but we're going to get into, not into deception, but the first week of March, we're going to talk about deceivers in the last days, and we are going to go there. But tonight, can we hear some more stories, Diane, to tell us what the real thing is like?
Listen, I'm going to let you guys talk. I'm just sitting on the sidelines. It's really a wonderful, wonderful program.
Well, I know you have to get up real early, so we're just very honored that you joined us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to me.
Right. It's a blessing.
God bless you.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Diane, tell us some more. I can't wait to hear some more.
Okay. Well, it's just really strong and heavy in my spirit to share about the 20 hours.
Yeah.
One time when the Lord took me up in the spirit for 20 hours, and I know that those of you who are listening, that there's probably going to be several things in this that's going to encourage you, that's going to edify you, it's going to build your faith up, and you're just going to rise up on the inside and see really the God that is in you, that really gives you the ability to do what you cannot do in the natural and what you cannot do on your own. And so this vision, the Lord just took me up in the spirit and showed me several different things. But it's really interesting because someone needs to hear this right here, Carlotta, and that is I had been really sick. This was around Easter time. And I had really been blatantly attacked, and in my body was afflicted deeply, on Easter Day. And this was on April the 3rd. And so between April the 3rd and April the 12th, during that period of time, I had fever. I'd had it for 6.5 days. I had a throat infection. I had an upper respiratory infection. I had a bladder infection, and I had a kidney infection.
My goodness.
I was one sick girl.
You
were. I was. It was a real blatant attack. And but, you know, I continued to confess the word of God, and I stood on it, and I still worship the Lord, and I even sang to the Lord, you know, every single day. I would pray with people. I would pray with a couple of people. You know, I didn't overdo it, but I would pray with people just about every single day. And, you know, for me, even though I was in this condition in my physical body, I still really just went on with, you know, the things of God. And I said I didn't overdo it, but I was determined to not really give in to the sickness. And, I'm not saying, you know, you can't just act like it's not there and not do anything for your body. You have to take care of yourself. But, you know, what I'm saying is, I didn't focus on it. And so every single day, I mean, the presence of God was just with me every single day. And then finally, on April the 12th, about 2:30 in the afternoon, I was laying on the sofa, and the presence of God was just so awesome, and it was so thick. And I was laying there, y'all, and all of a sudden, I couldn't feel anything in my body. I had no pain. There was no fever. I didn't have a runny nose. My throat wasn't sore. There wasn't any pressure in my head. I didn't have any headache. My head wasn't stopped up. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, absolutely nothing. I mean, and then all of a sudden, I mean, my body just went totally numb. And it went so numb. Because, you know, I didn't feel any of these manifestations that I had. It almost scared me. And so I ended up, now I didn't say it did scare me, y'all. I said it almost scared me.
Okay.
Because, you know, I had all these manifestations physically in my body, but the presence of God, you know, was there. And then all of a sudden, y'all, I opened up my eyes to see if I had a body. And so I closed my eyes, and again, the same thing happened. And so from that time on until around 12:30 the next day, I was caught up in the Spirit of God. And I remember that night, I was laying there in my bed, and the presence of God was just coming into my room, and I looked up, and, you know, the glory cloud. It was all above me, and it was close to the ceiling of my bedroom. And in fact, it got to the point to where I could not see the ceiling in my bedroom.
Wow.
The glory cloud. And I remember I laid there, and I wasn't able to move, and but his presence was so beautiful. And I remember I reached out my hand to the Lord, and he touched my hand with his, and then all of a sudden my hands, they just started tingling, and they just, you know, they went numb. And then I don't know how to explain this. It's sometimes hard to explain the things of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I just started adoring him, and I just started loving on him and worshiping him. Because it was such an intimate moment that I was in. Excuse me, and I remember looking over at the clock and for a brief moment and realizing that a pastor was supposed to be calling me, you know, at that particular time. And I remember I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, please don't let a pastor call, excuse me, until tomorrow, because I want to spend this time with you. You know, I just didn't want there to be any kind of interruption or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's the motivation we're talking about.
Yes, that's it, exactly. And you know what? Excuse me, let me get a drink of water here. Okay.
We can pray for your voice. I know that you've
better.
Been preaching a lot lately, so we just pray for your voice. Command clarity right now in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. So sorry. It's getting better. And so I remember, you know, the phone never rang. And I'll just share this. It was so precious because the next day, later on in the day, Pastor Morris had called me, and he said, Diane, he said, you know, it was just the strangest thing last night. He said, I was going to sit down to call you, and he said, and the Holy Spirit really quickened me not to call you, but to wait, you know, until today. So, see, isn't that wonderful?
The Holy Spirit is the great orchestrator of all things.
Yes, he is.
And he helped me not to be frustrated because, like, this morning was like so many mornings. This wouldn't work for a lot of people. They couldn't have their quiet time and wait in the presence of the Lord in their bedroom because they'd be back to sleep. But it worked for me. And I just kind of hide in my bedroom so that I won't go to the computer, get in a conversation with someone,
yeah,
even if they need prayer and all. But when the phone finally rings, then I feel a release. I don't go into guilt or shame. I feel a release that now God has connected someone, and I consider them very precious, you know, whoever calls and needs prayer. But I just let God orchestrate it. But I can't tell you, most of the mornings, my desire is to spend the whole morning with Him.
Yeah.
But He doesn't demand it. You know, He will let calls come through.
Yeah, that's right. You just want to be, you just want Him. I used to be like Enoch, and I would say, Lord, please just take me. I spend more time with you than I do with people, and I just really don't like people. I don't want to be around them. But, you know, that didn't go over well at all.
And he likes people.
That's right. I had to learn a lot. And he finally, one day, he just said, Diane, he said, don't ask me that anymore. He said, I'm not taking you. He said, you know, I have something for you to do. And so I quit asking. But the presence of, you know, the Lord, it just seemed to get stronger and stronger as I laid there. And then as I looked above and I saw the glory cloud, but on the other side of the glory cloud, I could see this black cloud. And then I began to see demons. And now, y'all don't freak out. It's, you know, this is really great what happened, but they were very dim, and so was the black cloud, because you see they were on the other side of the glory cloud.
Oh.
And so all of a sudden I began to hear these demons talking, and they were saying, I can't reach her. I can't touch her. I can't get to her. And, you know, and I just laid there, and I was like, Lord, you know, I really don't understand this. I can feel your presence. I know you're here. I see your glory cloud. And I said, but very dimly, you know, I can see that black cloud and those demons, and, you know, I can hear them, see them. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke back to me. He said, Diane, he said, you take authority over them. And so I had been going through some things. I'd been praying for my family, you know, my husband and my children. And the Lord told me, he said, you begin to take authority. And as I began to do that and, you know, rose up in my spirit, the Holy Spirit began to show me different spirits that had been oppressing, you know, my husband and my son and my daughter. And one by one, as I took that place of authority, and this is what everyone, I hope you really take this in and let the Holy Spirit minister it to you. But as a child of God, you have been given authority.
That's right.
But you can't exercise that authority very well or very strongly until the Word of God has become engrafted in your life, in your heart. And so when James said, in James 1:21, he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is to the saving of your soul. And so when we were born again, our spirit man was born of the incorruptible seed. And then it's a process every day, salvation, because every single day our soul needs to get saved, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And I was thinking about something that y'all were speaking about a little earlier when Prophet Kurt was on, and that is that, you know, every day we must renew our mind with the Word of God, and we've got to choose to think on those things that are lovely and just and honest, pure, and of a good report. It's, you know, it's a choice that we have to choose instead of all the problems and issues that we face in our life every day. And so
I've got to say amen to that just one second, because I keep thinking about these listeners that are concerned about being deceived by all this. And I'll tell you how I got into more or around more and more and more deceivers. And a counselor tried to tell me one year, then she'd tell me the next year, and finally I got it. She said, the more you keep judging and condemning deceivers, the more of them are going to be around you.
Oh,
because
yeah.
You reap what you sow. And so that has something to do with this. You know, when we show mercy and grace and true discernment toward people that are in error and deception, and we have a heart to restore, like 2 Timothy 2:23 through 26, or, you know, we have a heart to restore those that have been caught in the trap of the devil, that's one thing. But I was judging and condemning and resenting and really just really having an attitude toward the people who were deceiving or caught in deception, and then I got more of them. And so what we need to do is to repent of saying, God, move over, I'll help you judge him. We need to repent of that and say, God, you know, what we really wanted was true discernment. We wanted your true spiritual discernment. So we repent of indulging ourselves in criticism. It's not constructive. It's not to the leadership. I mean, it's just gossip. And we repent of pity parties. We repent of condemning people that are caught in the devil's trap of deception. And even if they chose it consciously, it's still not our job to be the judge of the universe. And so we just repent of that, and then we can receive true discernment, and we can enjoy the true signs and wonders like you're talking about. We can enjoy the presence of God. And what you're talking about, abiding in him and abiding the word, is a real thing. It's not just a phrase we say. We really do spend time in the word, meditating on it, you know, declaring it, agreeing with God.
That's right, Carlotta, because the word of God in Hebrews 4 tells us in 12 that the word of God is quicker than any two-edged sword, and it pierces and divides asunder the soul and the spirit, the bone marrow and the joints, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart.
Amen.
And so when we allow that word to come in and to penetrate into our hearts, to divide our soul in what is of the soul and what is of the spirit, and then we address that issue in our life, and we allow the word to be engrafted, like what James said. And he said, receive with all meekness. That means you have to surrender everything. You have to surrender all of you. And you have to allow that word to be engrafted, because that is what saves your soul. But what happens is now your soul is coming to alignment with your spirit man, which is yielded to the Spirit of God. And so there comes a unity there, because our temples are body, soul, and spirit. And so our body has got to line up, and our soul has got to line up with our spirit man and to the Spirit of God. And so then what happens, because we allow that word to be engrafted, then we are able to have discernment. And then we know what is of God and what is not. You know, what is of our soul and what is of our spirit. But, you know, in this place right here, the Lord was showing me the authority that I had, and, you know, growing up on the Word of God, and receiving it and walking it out, and in many areas not even knowing that I was the walking out the word, you know, being a living epistle, because I would pray all the time, Lord, let me be the living word. You know, let me be a living epistle. Let people read my life. You know, let me be a man, a woman, a few words, and let me let people see by the life I live, let them see you in me. And so, but one by one, as I saw these demons, as I was taking that authority, you know what? As I was speaking to them, one by one, I just saw them all leave. And it was literally like the Lord taking his finger, and just like how you take something on a desk or a table and you thump it, you just, you know, you put it on the table and you just kind of do your finger. It's just like these demons just, they were just going.
You just dismissed them, didn't you?
Yes. I mean, one by one, and then you know what? The cloud was gone. That black cloud that had been hovering over our family was totally gone. And then the presence of God began to get strong, really, really much stronger. And it was already strong. And then this place that I went to, it was so beautiful, and it was peaceful, and it was serene. And it was like laying in this thick, beautiful green grass, this luscious green grass right next to a brook with trickling water. Water was just trickling. And he said he would lead you beside still waters. He tells us that in Psalms. And it was so refreshing, you know, to every part of my being. And it's like I still couldn't feel, you know, my body really at all. And I just remember trying to move, and I couldn't. And then all of a sudden, I'm laying, you know, in my bed, and but I'm looking at the glory cloud again that's up above, you know, where I couldn't see my ceiling. And then all of a sudden, I would see this light that would, it would be illuminating. And I would see it on one side, and that light would come from the middle of, you know, my room, and it would go to the right side, and then the light would go to the right side. And, you know, I just kept seeing it, but I couldn't really tell exactly what it was. And it happened about six times, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, what is that? And he said to me, he said, Diane, he said, remember, I've told you that my angels, that they're encamped all around about you. And I said, yes, Lord. And they were. They were all around me. It's like I felt this presence that was so sweet and it was so safe, but yet I knew that it was not, you know, the presence of God. It's just a different presence, but it's all holy. You know, it was just so holy. And so I laid there in the presence of God with his glory cloud above me, and his angels were all around me. It's like there was an awareness that came of them being there. And, you know, angels are, they are there for us to help us on our journey. And I want to encourage everyone listening that as you speak the word of the Lord and as you declare the word of the Lord, to commission the angels to go forth and to hearken to the bidding of God's word on your behalf, because they're waiting. They are waiting. Your angels are waiting there, and they hearken. They move according to the word of God. And so that's a whole nother deal. It's like several things I could just delve into it, but just so that I can get through and finish about, you know, this 20 hours, because it was just amazing as all of this was taking place. But, you know, all of a sudden, and my eyes are open as I see all of this, and then all of a sudden my spirit man started soaring up higher and higher. And my spirit went so fast, there's really not any human words that I can speak to describe how fast. But it was like my spirit man was traveling through different realms in the heavens. And so, and it really was as though my spirit, you know, had left my body. And that's the only way to explain it. It reminded me of, you know, when I was a child and the Lord took me up in the spirit, but this was a little bit different than that. And then the next thing I knew, I had come to this place, and the sky was this deep, this beautiful blue, and the sky was all lit up, and it just reminded me of a clear, hot, you know, summer evening with a full moon shining. That's all I could say, except in this place, there was no moon, and there was no stars. There was nothing. You know, the sky was just lit up, you know, with the glory. It was just the glory lighting it up. And then I saw this cloud, and it was a very white, bright cloud, and it parted. And when this cloud parted, y'all, the most beautiful horse, can't even talk. But now, see, Carla, now I'm the one that I'm like,
I'm sorry.
I can't hardly talk.
Well, it's almost more than you can contain. When you have these experiences, our bodies just aren't built to contain it.
It's really not, and I've not shared this in a very, very long time, but the Lord has been speaking to me that it's time to start sharing this, and of course, as I get to this next part, I'm sure many of you will understand why, and Carlotta, it'll really minister.
Oh, boy.
So get ready. Hold on.
Okay.
But when that cloud parted, there was the most beautiful, huge white horse that appeared. And this horse was probably the largest horse that I've ever seen. You know, a Clydesdale horse is, like, really big.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of y'all have been around the Clydesdale horse, and you know how big their hoofs, you know, their feet are.
Oh, yeah.
Are.
They're big everywhere. Their head and their eyeballs, everything.
Oh, yeah. They're just, and this was larger than a Clydesdale horse. And he was so white. He was beautiful. He was just this pure white. I can't even explain it, because white is really not even a color here on this earth to describe this white. So, okay, I'm sorry, I'm trying to. And so his mane, it's so beautiful. It was just awesome. It was real wavy and curly and just thick. And I remember, you know, that I couldn't really see much past his long neck. He had a long neck. And then I remember the Lord, he spoke to me as I was standing there, and he said, Diane, he said, tell the people that I am coming quickly.
Mm.
And I, what, Lord? And I remember, you know, I began to shake, and it was like the Lord, he was commissioning me, you know, at that moment. And he said to me, he said, tell the people that I come, that I'm coming quickly.
Yes.
And I laid there, and it really, it was hard to, I don't even know if I was laying anywhere. I know my body was in the bed, but it's like, you know, I wasn't there, but I just remember that I just trembled in fear, and not a fear, everyone, of being afraid, but just a reverential fear, because it was so holy. And I remember, and he, you know, he spoke it again, and he said, behold, he said, I come quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, you know, not able to move, and the glory cloud was still so thick, you know, around me, and God's presence, it just began to intensify. And then the Lord let me look down at the earth. And when I looked down at the earth, it's like all of a sudden I just kind of moved into this place where there was like this huge crack, you know, that was in the earth. And it looked a lot like what, I guess if, you know, there had been an earthquake And I don't know, but I just remember as I looked down in this, what seemed like to be a hole, you know, a crack, but it was more like a hole, that it just got darker and darker and darker the further down I looked in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, I really couldn't even see the bottom because it just went down forever and ever, and it just got, you know, blacker and blacker. And then I was standing there, and Jesus was standing over to the side. And I remember looking up and seeing people that were in this hole.
Mm.
And, like, half of their bodies were showing, like, they were about their waist up. And they had flames of fire that were all around them. And
mm-hmm.
their faces were just, you know, you could see the torment and the agony and the pain and the despair. And it really kind of frightened me, but yet the peace of God, you know, I looked and Jesus was still, you know, he was still standing there. He was just right there beside me. You know, I'd never seen anything like this in my life before. And then I looked back at these people, and they were stretching their arms out to me, and they were saying, help me, please, help me. Please help me. They were reaching and they were grabbing at me. And I was somewhat frightened. I don't really know how to explain it. I was somewhat frightened, but there was still just a peace there because Jesus, you know, was just right there. And then the Lord, he spoke to me and he told me, he said, Diane, he said, tell people that I am the way and I am the truth. And I am the life. Yes, I am the resurrection power. He said, tell them. He said, because there are so many. He said, just like these people, he said, there's people that are dying and they're lost and they're on their way to hell. And it's not just people who are not saved, but people in the church as well. And then all of a sudden, you know, the visions, I mean, everywhere that I had been to, it's like they ended, and I was there, and I was aware of being in my bed, and the glory cloud was still above me, and, you know, and I just remained there, and I know that I never went to sleep that night, and, you know, and after the visions in it ended, it was like I was just in this spiritual trance. That's the only way that I know how to say it, until it seemed like not very long after that my alarm had gone off. And I remember getting up and just remaining in the presence of the Lord until about 12:30 that next day. And I did get up and I took our son to school. I don't even know how I did that, but I felt so weak, you know, in my body. But yet my body had been totally restored, and my health had been restored. There were no signs of any of the illnesses that I had that I shared with you at the beginning of that 20 hours. And so God had supernaturally, you know, he had healed my body. I mean, he took me up into the heavenlies, and he restored my body. I mean, he took me up. He released me to a higher realm of kingdom authority, and he commissioned me to go and to preach the gospel and to go and tell a dying world that Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Wow. And there you go. It's about Jesus. It's about his message, his truth, his salvation, his redemption.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to. It's been a very long time since I've shared it, but it's so appropriate right now. And I know the Lord just wants to encourage the listeners right now. You know, he's given you a story, and look what happened as his glory came.
Mm-hmm.
The presence, there is fullness of joy, that there is healing.
Amen.
And there is comfort, and, you know, just all those wonderful, glorious manifestations that God will give to us. You know, many of you may be listening. Maybe you've stood up and you maybe haven't stood in a pulpit, but you've stood up in the living room in a home And as you just shared, and all of a sudden you were so aware of the presence of God, of His anointing,
mm-hmm.
and what ailments that you might have had in your body or whatever thoughts were on you, you really sudden as you were speaking that none of that was there. And that is because when we step into that place of His glory, it overtakes, He overtakes literally the body. And just like I was laying there with all of those infections in my body, really, really sick, but yet I had to open my eyes up to see if I still had a body. And that in itself is powerful. And, you know, some people think, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, think about the season of grief that Isaiah had. And he had a life-transforming experience. And, you know, in an unexpected moment, he was translated into another realm, and he found himself caught up in a throne room, and he beheld the glory of God. You know, Ezekiel, when he was amongst the exiles, you know, in Israel, just like Isaiah, and he was enduring a really great time of loss and grief, but he was caught up into the glory cloud. And, you know, so our physical condition and the way that we think doesn't have anything to do with God really revealing Himself to us. It's when we hunger after Him
mm-hmm.
and when we focus on Him once again, Carlotta and Teresa, you know, when we really just keep our faith set like a flint and we're steadfast in pursuing Him in that holiness, He reveals Himself to us regardless of how we are. Mentally or physically or emotionally, you know, we don't have to be pumped up having listened to worship music, or it's just that pure hunger. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. When you study that, the Hebrew for violence is hunger.
It's very strong.
Hunger, yes. And the hungry take it by force. And I share with people, if y'all are sitting at a dinner table and there's a feast on there and you've got, you know, chicken fajitas and steak fajitas and there's guacamole and pico de gallo and, you know, and you're just getting ready to feast, well, if there is something specifically that you want and you don't want someone else to get it, like certain pieces of meat, you're going to by force, you're going to get those tongs and you're going to reach over and you're going to get those pieces of meat. You're going to take it by force.
Thank you for that. That really is a wonderful picture, because, I mean, I've never understood that. But it's just, it makes so much more sense.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
For all of you that snuck food during the blessing so that you would get their share. I've got a confirmation for you, though, Diane. I just hear in the spirit that there are some listeners out there that say, you know, if it's prophetic, there's a confirmation somewhere. I don't think it ever, well, anyway, I won't go there. But I have a confirmation for them and for you. Not that you need a confirmation. Anyway, let me just say it. On Crosswalk Life, our website at cwlinc.com, I have a whole audio recording of an open vision of our King, I think it's what's called. You can look on the left site menu on Crosswalk Life, and there'll be a link that says something like that. It's like a vision of our King or open vision of our King. And when we do restoration prayer ministry here, we always give Jesus a chance if He wants to appear or touch or heal that person personally, you know, and not just do it in a Christian counseling kind of way. Well, I record it for the people. I tell them, whatever you see or hear Jesus doing, if you'll just dictate it out loud, I'm going to record it, and if it turns out to be a vision, then you'll have it. And then if they have any kind of leading, you know, to let everyone hear it, then we put it on the internet. Well, this lady was very happy to share this one because much like yours began, it didn't have that kind of ending like yours, but much like yours began, Jesus really did ride in on a white horse.
Oh, wow.
And she rode with him. And he took her to the wedding supper of the Lamb himself. She didn't have to go in it as a, I think it was the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's been a while since we did this, about 3 years, I think. But he took her to dinner for sure. He dressed her, you know, in a decent way. And somehow she got the dress on. and she described the table and the room and everything.
Wow.
And for those that need a confirmation, I'll tell you, we've got it on the internet already. Just look for that vision of our King. And she is dictating the whole thing. All I did was I took out some pauses. Sometimes when there was a long pause and she'd be watching it before she would tell me what happened. But it hasn't been altered. It's just as she got it, and you can hear it. And we just, I was so pleased that she would put it on the internet because people need to know how, what a wonderful bridegroom Jesus is.
Yes.
And how personal he is. And she wasn't just herded in with about 2 billion other Christians, you know. It was all very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And very healing, because I don't remember that she revealed much of it, so I'll just only be able to say that she had been through a lot as a child. And so to be chosen and personally escorted in was a very, very healing thing.
Wow. That is beautiful. Absolutely.
And you can tell it. If you listen to it, you can tell it. I probably give some kind of explanation at the beginning. But then just be patient. It'll get into this all just dictated. And I just had to share that because somebody out there is thinking, well, it's hard enough for me to believe that prophets have these experiences. But I think, you know, Joel says, and in Acts 2, it says that God's Spirit's going to fall on everyone, and everyone's going to be able to prophesy if they want to, and dreams and visions. And that's something else, Teresa. I've been studying the different kinds of dreams and visions, and what Apostle Diane just shared fits several of them. You know, not only was it a dream or a vision where Jesus or where she was addressed, you know, it wasn't just her observing something. She was addressed in it. There were suddenlies in it. You know, there were startling things. That's another level. You know, it wasn't just a story of something. And it's there's a lot to be studied on this, and I'm really getting into it, that the Bible is full of stories about having open spiritual eyes. And that's another article that we've got on the website. If you just look in the search box and type in open spiritual eyes, I have a whole listing. It's just pages long of times when God chose to communicate through people seeing things, visions, you know, dreams. In fact, Diane, would you just pray for all of us that we would all have open spiritual eyes, and whatever fears we've got about it, you know, that we'll be able to give them to Jesus and just be willing to receive him in any way he wants to manifest.
Yes, I will be honored to. Father, right now we just come to you through that precious blood. And Father, we thank you for the power that's in the blood of Jesus, and that it enables us to come into your throne room, that it enables us to be washed and to be cleansed, and it enables us to become a New Testament believer, one that is filled with the power of your Holy Spirit and walking in your power. And so, Father God, I pray right now for every single listener. Sweet Holy Spirit of the living God, just surround that one right now that is listening and that is hungering after the things of God, that is just hungry to see, Father, you and just a manifestation, Father, of your glory. Father, just that connection that you make with them, Father, as they encounter you, Lord, these things are, as you had spoken to me, Father, and shared with me, it's part of our inheritance. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, I pray that no one listening, Father, that they would be held back by any fear or by any trepidation, but, Father, you said that that your love, when we know your love, that our hearts cannot condemn us, cannot put any shame or guilt there or any kind of fear. It totally casts that fear out. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, I just pray for that one that maybe has been fearful. And, Lord God, I pray that you would just surround them right now with your love. And, Father, I know earlier in the program that we repented of that fear and that there was authority taken there. So, Father, I ask right now that you would just surround each and every one, Father, with your love, that unconditional love. And, Father, I ask you to just open up the eyes of their understanding. Father, remove the scales off of their eyes. And, Father, illuminate their hearts, Father, that they would know the hope of the glory of Christ that is in them. Father, remove any plugs from their ears that they might hear the Spirit wooing them, that they might hear the Spirit of God calling them unto you. And, Father, I pray, Lord God, that any inhibitions, Father, that you would just remove those right now. And, Father God, that each and every one, Father, that they would just do as I did that night. Father, they would just reach their hand out to you, even right now. It's just an act of faith, a sign of the faith in you, Father, that they're reaching up for you, Father. They're taking your hand so that you can take them where you have purposed and where you have predestined that they might go, Father, with you into realms of the Spirit, Father, into realms of heaven, Father, so that they can encounter you in a glorious way. Father, let each and every person, let them rise up above the mercy seat. Father, at that place of the mercy seat, your glory is there, your presence there. But, Father, we're still so conscious of ourselves. But, Father, you want each and every one of us to come up above the mercy seat and to come into the Holy of Holies, to come where the Shekinah glory is, Father, so that we might encounter you in all your majesty and all your splendor, and you are truly, totally all that we see in that very moment and that we encounter. We are totally out of the picture. We're not in our thoughts. There's nothing in our thoughts because we're so engulfed by your holy presence, by your weighty glory, by the Kabbalah. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, and I speak and declare over each and everyone listening that from this day on that you will encounter God in a fresh, new way and that your relationship will take on higher heights and deeper depths and the place of intimacy will grow and will become greater and greater in your walk and in your journey. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to pray for those that are out there that you feel like you've sinned too much. You're too far away from God, even though we teach you that he's inside you if you're a believer and you've invited him to be Lord of your life. That you just feel like this isn't anywhere near possible for you. There are too many blocks in your life, or there's just too many lies and deceptions, and it's just all confusing, too many voices in your head disagreeing with what you even say you believe. I just want to encourage you to call for Restoration Prayer Ministry, because we're not the type of prophetic people that just prophesy where you can be or where you ought to be, and then we just expect you to know how to get from here to there. I just encourage you to call for Restoration Prayer Ministry and say, will you help me to find the blocks that are in my life so that I can have everything that God has promised? Because I know when I hear messages like this, like Apostle Diane has shared with us tonight, I just say, Lord, if it's you, I want everything that anybody can have. I want it all.
Amen.
And that's God's heart. That's why Jesus died on the cross, was to take everything that would block us from abiding in him, being one with him, and from knowing him. He didn't die on the cross just to leave us feeling separated all our lives. He wants us to know that oneness and that union with him that Romans 7, 1 through 7 says that's a secret of bearing fruit, just knowing that oneness with him. And while he does command us to covet spiritual gifts and even the best gifts and to prophesy, Lord, our goal tonight, as we have said, is not just so that we can boast of a gift or boast of power or tell stories. It's that we can really know you. We just want to really know you.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know the power of your presence. I know how I feel when I've spent time in your presence and just hearing from you, and I just feel and am so prepared for the day because I have transferred all my confidence into you, and I know that you have it all. You are it all. You're my all in all, and I've just got it all when I'm in relationship with you, and I just thank you for it, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. I thank you, Lord, for this appointed time. It is an appointed time, an appointed time in destiny. I just thank you, Lord, for this appointed time. Lives changed. Destinies are righted. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Diane, how can they get in touch with you if someone would rather get in touch with you? Is there a way they can do it?
Yes, they can go to my website. It is www.dove-ministries.com. So it's www.dove-ministries.com. And on the contact page, there is an email, and I believe it's diane@dove-ministries.com. They can get in touch with me that way, or they can call and leave a message on 972-772-5544. And that is the way that they would be able to contact me either way.
That's very gracious of you to share that. And I understand that you're writing a book. We have about one more minute. Can you tell us how to look for that book when it comes out?
Okay. Well, I'll definitely have the information, you know, on my contact page or somewhere.
Okay.
You know, on my website. Also, I'm not sure, but I'm praying and believing that, you know, God will get that just out through different stores. I know that, Sid Fox, one of his employees that he has, called me and is waiting for me to get the galley done, get it edited, and so I'll be doing a program and sharing about the book then, so I know that'll get,
okay,
it'll get out like that, but I'm hoping that it will be, you know, very soon, within the next 3 or 4 months.
I know how that goes. I'm supposed to have been writing one for a year now, and it's hard to be disciplined to turn down real callers and go with the book, but they are important. Thank you again for being with us, and I want to encourage everyone who is, if you've got any concerns that you have to have done everything right or never been through anything in order to for God to appear to you or speak to you this way, please tune in 2 weeks from tonight, and Prophet Apostle Diane Nutt is going to share how God had some things he had to redeem her from, heal the trauma in her life. And I just hope you'll join us then. And please bring a friend for more Crosswalk Talk. Amen.
You have been listening to Crosswalk Talk with Reverend Carlotta Waldman and Reverend Pat Torek. For more information about Personal Restoration Prayer Ministry, our local healing prayer and worship meetings, ministry training seminars, or free healing articles, go to our website, Crosswalk Life, at www.cwlinc.com. If you would like a copy of this message, you can download it on our website. If you would like to help keep Crosswalk Talk on this station, please mail your tax-deductible donation to Crosswalk Talk, P.O. Box 1535, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Again, that's Crosswalk Talk, P.O. Box 1535, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. And please join us next week for more Crosswalk Talk.
But oh God, I just want you. I could search for earth of things to satisfy my every need. Oh God, I just